Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, January 1st, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Happy New Year to everyone. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXVI, the second paragraph that starts with the doctor's theory that we have an allergy, through one paragraph ending many things for which we cannot otherwise account, commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Vanessa G., 12 Traditions, Dina B. Readers of the text will be Becca R., Sherry M., and Dana P. The reference number for Sunday, December 31st, is 20,989. That's 20989. And for this morning, Monday, January 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,990. That's 20990. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Laura L.W., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Vanessa G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. And these are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. I'll now ask Dina B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Dina B., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Blessed New Year to all. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dina B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXVI, the second paragraph, the doctor's theory that we have an allergy, through one paragraph ending, many things for which we cannot otherwise account. And we're going to be commenting on that one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Becca R. to begin reading and then share with us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Dawn. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. The doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us. As laymen, our opinion as soundness may, of course, mean little, but as ex-problem drinkers, we can say that his explanation makes good sense. It explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. And outside of this paragraph at the end, I just have the word baffling. And we talk about that when it comes to food. I would totally relate when people shared the cunning, baffling nature of waking up day after day after day saying, today's the day, it's going to be different. I'm not going to do that with food. I'm going to stick to the food plan. I'm going to stick to the diet. And the baffling nature, which the things that which cannot otherwise account was when I experienced recovery and I was free from that baffling nature of the disease. What I've found, I'm entering into close to 2 years of recovery, and the baffling nature today is different from the baffling nature as a brand new person coming out of the food. The baffling nature for me today is the sneakiness, the cunning nature of this disease and how it can talk to me in a recovered state. And it looks like for me it was going on a cruise before vacation and having some leniency in my plan, not leniency, but just my plan changed for that week on vacation, and then coming home and thinking, well, I did it on vacation. Maybe I can just do it now. Maybe food changes, food swaps aren't that big of a deal. Who cares if it's A for B or B for C? But that to me is after dissecting this with my sponsor, is the baffling nature. And that's what differentiates me from normal eaters and heavy eaters and people who don't suffer from this disease, is maybe they can do that. But for me, I can't. I have to stay on the side of, if I really believe that I suffer from this disease and only the spiritual experience is going to help, then I have to buy into all of it. It's amazing to me that this disease can transform and progress and follow me in my recovery. And it doesn't necessarily come at me and binge foods or trigger foods, but it sneaks in these very subtle ways. And I'm really grateful to have boundaries and have a sponsor that I continue to work with, and to have the inventory process and the steps and just really good boundaries with my recovery, so that when my disease does talk, I have truth tellers in my life who can say, this is another part of that baffling part, you know, and if you really believe you're a compulsive overeater, then this is the answer. So thanks for letting me be of service. I'm excited to hear what everybody else wants to share. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R., for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Bruce E.
Sherry M.
Bruce E. and Sherry M. Tom L.
Wendy M.
Okay, hold on one second here. Tom L. And then I heard, was it Sherry M.? And then I heard Wendy M. Okay. Catherine S. Catherine S. And who was that other one? Wendy A. Catherine S.
Nancy.
Nancy.
Nancy J.
That was it. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, I have Bruce M., Sherry M., Tom L., Sherry M. again. Let me see. I think there's only one Sherry M. on there. All right, then I have Wendy M., Catherine S., and Nancy J. Did I miss someone? Okay, we'll go with Bruce M., followed by Sherry M. Go ahead,
okay.
Bruce.
Okay, thank you. It's Bruce E. I'm in E as in Edward. I'm in Southwest Florida. And very grateful. Grateful I had a pretty good year. And grateful to think in terms of a good new year. Abstinent and recovered. So got a lot to be grateful for. Thank you, God. The allergy, I was really grateful to get to share on this subject, because it's 25 years in OA previous to coming into Vision. I've been in Vision about 5 years now. And I'd get about a week or two in, or a month or two, and then I'd go back and binge and, you know, relapse. And I get back into doing things again, and I go through that cycle again. I continue to go through the cycle all those years. And I'm thinking, you know, that's probably the way it's always going to be. Just accepting that type of environment in my life, you know, chronic slipping. Just accept it. I figured that's the way it's always going to be. Then I got into Vision. And I heard about this allergy thing and read about it, talked about it with my sponsor and stuff like that. And that explained it. You know, that just really explained it, that if I ingest those foods that I'm allergic to, I'm going to just continue to have relapses and slips. So I have to totally put down those particular foods that are causing this allergy. And I know what they are, because, you know, I can feel the phenomenon of craving come on after I eat them. And that's what happens, you know. So it's an allergy, And then comes on the phenomenon of craving right after that. And that's all physical. And then the obsession of the mind. And then I start to just go into this terrible, white knuckling and just trying to avoid this and avoid that, getting fearful and everything, and gets crazy. So theology does explain a lot of it that I wouldn't really understand otherwise, but theology explains it. And I, a guy came in the program some time ago, and he heard about theology, and he said, well, then that's what it, that makes sense. Theology and then the phenomenon of craving, obsession, and compulsion. That makes sense. And the guy got sober, guy got abstinent. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Sherry M., please share with us, followed by Tom L.
What page are we on, please?
We're on page XVI. The second paragraph starts with doctor's theory that we have an allergy. Go ahead, Sherry.
Okay, thanks so much, Dawn. This is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming. Great to be with all of you today. And I really love this chapter, and I love that there's a medical doctor telling us information about me that I need to know. And this is the only thing that makes sense for me, because my entire life, from the time I was a young girl, going over to my friend's house to eat what their mother made, I was the only one going back for seconds. And every party I went to, I was the only one looking at the cake and wanting more and more and more and more, and wondering what in the world is wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. I'm so able to do all these other things in my life, but this I'm not able to stop. So I think it's as simple, if you're new, welcome, welcome. It's January. It's usually a busy time for us here in Overeaters Anonymous, and you never have to kill yourself with food again, because we want to help you. And I think the best question to ask is, was there ever a time, and it doesn't need to be every time, but was there ever one time or two times that I started eating a substance of food, and as much as I told myself that I wanted to stop, or my stomach hurt and I needed to stop, was there something greater than me happening that I could not stop? Did I not have a choice in the matter? That's all I need to know. Did that ever happen to me? Because if the answer is yes, you could interview all the other people in the world, which is like, 80%? What, the regular population, they do not have this problem. They can have one. They can tell themselves they're going to have two, and then they're done. They can dole out a serving size and be totally satisfied. The problem with my body is it is not satisfied by the substances that I put in that are my alcoholic foods. And the trickiest thing, being in other programs and going to be celebrating 20 years in another program, I have no question, but this substance, I think, is a lot more cunning and baffling, because there could be a substance I've never binged on. I've never eaten more than one of, but yet it could be starting some sort of phenomenon of craving in my body. And also as my body changes, right? So food is necessary as medicine for our body to live. But as my body changes, also some of my alcoholic ingredients could change. So it's always ever important for me to realize, is my mind telling me to go back for whatever? That is going to be causing a phenomenon of craving. And there's only one solution, and it's God and program and the help we get here in the big book as outlined here in the instructions. So if you're new and this isn't making sense, it is not just, thank you, it is not sugar and flour. Those are not necessarily the culprits, but it's all the ingredients. All right, I pass. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. Tom L., please share with us, followed by Wendy M., and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Tom L. I'm from California. It's like cold today. I'm taking part in my own recovery. I'm undergoing a treatment for this illness that we share. it's a strange treatment, but it's a strange illness too. I like to focus on the obsession because I like complicated things and mysterious things. The allergy seems so mechanical. You know, when I drink alcohol, I wake up throwing up. That's just, you know, that's the fact of alcohol with me. I wake up throwing up. I don't like that. So 20 years ago, I decided not to do that anymore. If I drink alcohol today, I'd probably eventually wake up throwing up. So no thanks. And the obsession, not the allergy, explains why I stay away from that. But that weird reaction, this is a binge for me. I eat some, for my alcoholic foods, there are very many of them. They're very highly processed. They hit my bloodstream quick. The doctor calls it an allergy because he didn't suffer from it. He's like watching an animal chew its leg. You know, why is it doing that? Well, it has an allergy or something. But for me, it's a wonderful feeling that as it comes through my body, it's just like, oh, I don't have to worry about the future. You know, my problems fall from me. I can focus. I start reading a novel. I start watching TV. I always do solitary things. I'm not a social eater. But one thing happens, I've noticed when I'm, you know, watching TV or reading a novel, my other hand is shoving food in my face. And I always, there's a part of my eye that looks at a big tray of food going, I hope it's not done yet. Because for whatever reason, I can't just get high with food and then enjoy it. My body starts ingesting more and more. I've done this for decades. I used to be almost 500 pounds on disability. And it was okay because it was the previous paragraph mentions alcoholic torture. That isn't the torture, the eating like that. It's the recovering from that and you know the remorse, the fact that I can't get to work the next morning, the fact I look in the mirror and my body is horribly distorted. And then the obsession says, well, I know it'll fix that. But I can't help the fact that my hand starts shoving food in my face. So I'd best not do that. It's best not to start that for that terrible cycle. But then we have the obsession again. And that's why I need a higher power. I need all the apparatus of recovery. I need to be on this meeting day after day after day because I'm crazy enough to think, oh, no, it's not going to hit me this time. I'll be okay. Anyway, thanks for sharing your experience with that weird phenomenon. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom L. from California. Wendy M., please share with us, followed by Catherine S.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful to be on the line. Happy anniversary. What is today? It's the first day of the year. Happy that. And Don, thank you so much for your service. And I'm loving the shares. So I always call the doctor's opinion the game changer. It's the difference between like black and white and technicolor. I remember, and if you're new, take note, the thing that changed me, my program, my relationship to God, the whole bit, was this idea of entire abstinence. Before I read that particular paragraph and all of these paragraphs, I think I mentioned I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I called it abstinence. Yet I found myself, again, calling it abstinence, found myself in the pantry with the crackers, and I couldn't stop. And I still thought I was abstinent. I didn't understand this idea of ingredients. So I just want to say that first. Absolutely, if somebody can take you through the doctor's opinion, it was a game changer for me. And then it says here, we have a theory that interests us. I love that. I always smile when I see that because it's like, interest us, really? It's more like, it's more than an interest is what I'm trying to say. This paragraph, this chapter is more than an interest because it will save my life. And then they say, as ex-problem drinkers, we can say that his explanation makes good sense. Now, here's the kicker. It explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. Exactly. How could I account for saying I was abstinent and eating the top of my wedding cake, which was sugar-free, and then eating the rest of the cake that night? How does that get explained? Who can understand that? Everyone on this line probably nodding their head saying, yes, I can understand that. explaining things for which we cannot otherwise account. All of it, driving 70 miles an hour, there's a piece of weighed and measured apple on the floor. It fell, and it makes sense for me to try to pick up that piece of apple while I'm driving. Like, that's the degree to which the insanity exists, right? And I love that. I love that. And this also reminds me of, you know, when we talk about depth and weight, same chapter. And I say to my sponsees, when we hit that, I said, you're nodding your head and you're on this call with me because you know that what I'm saying has depth and weight. You can nod your head and say, yes, I've eaten the sugar-free wedding cake. I've cleaned the dishes on Thanksgiving and literally with my hands scooped out the inside of an apple pie, and I call that an apple.
Time.
Or is that my time? I couldn't
yes.
quite hear it. Okay,
yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. And if you're just joining us, we are on page XXVI, the second paragraph below the letter there, where it starts with the doctor's theory that we have an allergy through that one paragraph. Catherine S., please share with us, followed by Nancy J., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hey, good morning, group. I'm Catherine S., food addict and bulimic from outside Washington, D.C. And I just want to share my experience that the whole concept of an allergy and the allergy really was, you know, pivotal in me finally getting abstinent. And I was in OA for almost 2 years, and I had eliminated sugar and was, you know, doing the various tools and the steps, but I could not get abstinent. And I had someone suggest to me that possibly I had an allergy to wheat and needed to give up wheat. And I thought that was crazy. I thought that was crazy. That was a woman I had asked if she could be my sponsor, and that was one of her requirements. And so I kept doing what I was doing and not getting abstinent. And about 2 weeks later, I read a book that talked about how some people's bodies are different than others. And when they process certain foods, they have an allergic reaction. And I was then willing to give up the wheat. And after my very first meal, I felt different. I did not have that craving. And so today, I absolutely believe I have an allergy to wheat and sugar and other substances. And I stay away from them like we do our fingers from a hot flame. And it just makes sense. So for anyone who's been struggling and trying, the allergy really might be what's going on, and you might be eating some of the foods that you're allergic to. So very, very grateful to be abstinent and to start a new year, not on a diet, but doing exactly what I did yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Catherine S. from Washington, D.C. Nancy J., please share with us.
Good morning. Happy New Year, everybody. Nancy J., recovered by God's grace today. Oh, so grateful to be on the line. This is my year birthday, my most recent abstinence. I just want to shout out to just how grateful I am for this program. Last night I was at a New Year's party, and I was there for probably 3 hours, and I enjoyed some chit-chat with some people, and I had got a new outfit. I looked cute, and was home early, and this morning I'm up. I'm not hungover from wine or sugar. I've already done my prayer and meditation. I'm on a meeting. I feel good. I'm healthy. What a difference it is compared to the last couple New Year's ago where, hungover, go to bed without brushing or flossing after tons of sugar, you know. Just what a miracle. And if you're new to this program, keep coming back. Wait for the miracle, because I'll tell you what, my life has just been restored. Yours can too. the reading, it explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. I'm one of these people that tries to figure everything out. I've got to have an answer for everything. You know, why do I do this? Why do I act like that? Years of therapy, you know. Well, years of therapy was great, very useful. A lot of things came up to the surface. But, you know, with this disease, I don't need to keep asking why this, why that. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have an allergy, right? Someone else has called it an abnormal reaction to food. If you can't get your head wrapped around allergy, I have an abnormal reaction. And I was speaking to a newcomer the other day, someone that is completely, had never looked at the big book, knew nothing about the doctor's opinion. And she said, you know, it's almost like, she said, a doctor told me to go off of white flour for a while, and I really felt better. She said, it almost like it had something not only to do with my head, but also my body. And I was able to share with her briefly about this. This is someone that knows nothing about the big book or the doctor's opinion. So changed my life. Keep coming back. And just wanted to say hello and claim my seat today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy J. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph on page XXVI that starts with the doctor's theory that we have an allergy? Margo B. I heard Margo. And who was after Margo? Ann M.
Mm-hmm. Darian.
Julie
T.
Darian. And was there a Vicky?
Yes, Vicky T.
And Julie P.
Julie P.
Dana P.
And Dana P. And we'll stop there. I have Margo, Ann, Darian, Vicky, Julie, and Dana. Margo, go ahead and please share with us.
Hi, Margo B., New York. Thank you so much for the qualification and the comments around the room and your service, everyone. Wow, really bringing me back. So what comes to my mind, because it is such a baffling disease and how insidious it can be, one is too much and 100 is never enough. And to know and understand, I don't even have to have it explained to me, but I so identify with the fact that I can have certain foods that are part of my food plan. I got to check my motive. I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be nice to have blah, 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 because I'm allowed to have that. And I was like, why bother? If I'm only going to have it in a limited amount, what's the fun in that? What is going on, right? That's why I have my step work and I keep going. It reminds me of the milk and the whiskey experiment. Oh, and how bags and boxes being completely hung over from food and just not even being able to move. Going away on a vacation, coming back, none of my clothes fitting, taking food out of the garbage, just this compulsive behavior of how this disease is. And to be able to say, okay, there's a solution, and may I find him now, and it's God, and it's through this work that I can be in conscious contact with God so that whatever I'm feeling and experiencing, I can go to God instead of running to the food. And, using the tools of the program, right? I remember, like, some of the old, you know, like, when you go to grab the handle of the refrigerator, back in the day, they had the handle of a phone, right? Pick up the phone instead. You know, just this insanity of the disease and to have a break from it is like a realization of like, oh, wow, you mean I don't have to eat like that? Who knew? I wouldn't have known that because I was just drawn to it. It wasn't until people said, well, if you're full, don't eat anymore. And I'm looking at them like, what? What do you mean don't eat anymore? I can't stop. And I'm just very, very grateful to be able to share all that in a room of people who understand me. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much, Margot B. from New York. Ann M., please share with us, followed by Darian.
Good morning, everyone. Ann M. from Washington State. Just a quick thought. I remember years ago when I first got into the program, probably early 90s or whatever, and I read this. We were reading from the Galvin 12, because early on, no literature, and I've mentioned this before, for OA, it was simply the AA literature before OA had, you know, published the step book. So we were reading from that, and I thought, oh my gosh, I do suffer from this because I have this emotional hangover often, waking up in the morning, regretting, feeling guilty about what I ate the night before, overate. And that sort of synced it for me. And that, to me, says, hey, that makes good sense. I have this allergy in the thinking part as well as the eating part about this disease, the guilt, the shame, the I'm not going to do it again. I will be resolved, especially January 1st when I make resolutions. So I will not do this, and that I could not do it by myself. I could not. I need you. I need everyone in this program. I need the literature. I need working the steps on everything. So that's all I have to share. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you so much, Ann M. from Washington. Darian, please share with us and give me your initial where you're calling from, followed by Vicki.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. I'm gratefully recovered for today and glad to be on the line with all of you this new year. So this little paragraph is just chock full of stuff that I could relate to, and rightfully so. You know, it says, the allergy to alcohol interests us. So I broke that small area apart to, first of all, allergy. You know, when I think of allergy, I think of like, you know, you break out in something, you break out in hives, or you break out in a rash or something. And, you know, I literally break out and eat everything. You know what I mean? If I have certain foods. And so, you know, and it's funny when you go to the doctor, they say, you know, do you have any allergies? Well, we wouldn't say, you know, yeah, flour and sugar, unless we're, you know, getting something surgical done. But still, you know, I know for me, that's my allergy. My allergy is to food and certain foods, and not all foods, but certain foods. And that's where I need the honesty of the program, is to know what my allergic foods are, because they could be very different than others, but many are the same. I do need to say that too. And the other thing is to interest us, you know, that's why we call it a program of attraction, because, I did scratch my head when I first came in and said, this is very different than the diet programs I went to, you know, they all offered me free food and, I could eat this that looked like that. You know, with the similar ingredients in it, but maybe a smaller portion. And I couldn't stick to anything. I couldn't, you know, and that explains things which I could not account for, you know, why those diets failed miserably for me, because I just couldn't stick to them. They just revved up my craving and my thoughts of wanting the real deal. and you know, it just had no sustainability for me. You know, and when we say too that it, you know, we as ex-problem drinkers, you know, say we can explain this, makes good sense, is, you know, just I thought like it takes one to know one, right? So we are here in this, you know, virtual room here, this phone line, you know, are on Zoom meetings, and we all sit together and we know that we are in the same boat when it comes to addictive eating. So I am so grateful to be here with all of you and to be abstinent today. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. Vicki, please share with us, and please give me your initial and where you're calling from, followed by Julie P.
Sure. Hi, I'm Vicki T, and I am recovered here in South Florida, and I'm very grateful to be here and grateful for the new year and being able to start it out with God as my best friend. And, you know, I never read the doctor's opinion ever until years ago. It's before the first chapter, so why bother? It's like the, you know, like the index or the preamble or whatever. It doesn't matter, you know. And it is a game changer. It tells me that, you know, I was going about it in the wrong way. I was going about it that I have an eating disorder or I have exercise bulimia. You could call it that, but I don't believe that's what it is. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. And this tells me exactly what the problem is. Now, knowledge is not enough. It's not going to do it. But at least it gives me an idea of where I need to go from here. And I think as well that I have an allergy with my thinking. Not just the thinking that is going to bring me back to the food, but the thinking that's going to bring me to insanity. My obsessive, controlling thinking, worrying, just the constant repetitive thinking. Once I take that, it's like that first bite, it's like the first thought. Once I start to pick it up, I'm in trouble. Unless I go right to God, try not to figure it out because that's not a slogan, and remember that I have an allergy to my thinking as well as an allergy to, you know, an allergy with my food. I spent most of my many years in program in chronic relapse, and I thought that there was no way out. I could do so many other things in my life. I have so much willpower, and I would stay abstinent for certain periods of time, but I never was recovered. I never ever got recovered, and it's a different state of being in mind body. With the rest of my time I have, I was on a meeting yesterday and they shared the cycle of compulsive overeating. Comes with the thought, the lie, the first bite, the compulsive craving begins because I had the first bite, the binge, the out of control eating, the remorse and the guilt, and the resolutions and the promises that I'll never do it again, then back to the thought, and it goes on and on until I can have an entire psychic change. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vicki T. from Florida. Julie P., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. from Minnesota, currently wintering in Texas. I just want to say to the newcomer, welcome. We are so glad that you're with us. First is always those years of resolution. And for me, I'm so grateful that today I know that I have an allergy. And someone earlier talked about how cunning, powerful, and baffling this disease of mine is. And it's like, oh my gosh, why a year ago could I eat peanut butter and now I can't eat peanut butter anymore? I'm learning that this disease of mine through food will try to come through any nook and cranny to get to me. And as long as I stay close to the solution, I will be aware of that and on guard. And I'm so grateful that this program and this big book has taught me what the solution is. Today, my only resolution is to look up, to grow my relationship with my higher power, because I know that he is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. It truly is a miracle. I don't want a box of hot tamales anymore. And I'm so grateful for that. And the food neutrality I have is beyond my wildest dreams. But I know I have to take those certain actions. And if you are a newcomer today, I just pray that you keep coming back. And I wish you all a blessed new year. And thank you all for loving me before I could love myself. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Julie P. Dana P., please share with us. And you have about a 2.5-minute share.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dawn. Dana P. in California. Hopefully I can get said what I need to say in 2 minutes. You know, so this paragraph here, the doctor's theory, a theory is an idea until it's proven. And the other thing that I'm hearing, you know, it's in here is the word about allergy. What is that? Well, I'm in the medical profession, so I could go into detail about what an allergy is. But in this case, we're talking about an abnormal reaction. So for me, you know, people talk about the flour and sugar, and people talk about different substances that they consume that cause this allergy, if you will, abnormal reaction. And for me, what I realize as I go back in time and really pondering it this morning is that the allergy for me, that abnormal reaction was to a diet where I lost a lot of weight. You know, any normal person, and I was not even overweight when I started this diet. And what is diet? Well, don't die yet, right? And it just about killed me. So the reason I share this is because a normal person, you know, they diet down back down to their size that they want to be, and then they go back to eating what they ate before, maybe in moderation, maybe not. I don't really know because that's not me. However, they don't have this allergy, if you will, this compulsion to continue until I essentially blow away. And what I realize is that, you know, it's not the food. It's absolutely not the food. The dilemma, the problem, my real problem is lack of power. And it talks about that in We Agnostics on page 45. Lack of power, that was my dilemma and was our dilemma, but it was my dilemma. And I had to find a power by which I could live, and it had to be a power greater than myself. Well, I was in delusion because I felt powerful when I lost the weight. I felt powerful when I discovered that I could vomit to get rid of the food that I compulsively ate, and continued on that way for 41 years. So this program, and back to that paragraph on 45, but where and how were we to find this power? Through this process of the 12 steps and this program of recovery that I'm so eternally grateful for. And I just want to wish everyone a happy new year. I hope that made some sense to someone. I am in California, Dana P., if you'd like to reach out to me. Everybody have a great day, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P. from California. And we're now going to end to everyone who shared. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.